growing up in southern Ontario on the shores of Lake Ontario provided me with lots of opportunities to fish for migratory steelhead and salmon. I relied on my parents to take me to the Ganaraska and Port Hope in my younger days. After all, I was too young to drive. I remember seeing anglers lined up shoulder to shoulder on the riverbank's best spots. They were always there long before my arrival. My parents could never understand why I wanted to leave so early. The idea of crowding in beside these seasoned anglers made no sense to me. After all, they were there first, and my skill set fell way short of theirs. I was quite happy fishing where there were fewer fish, just being there, experiencing all there was to experience. One early morning, while crawling out of my mom's car, one of the anglers said hi and waved me over. This was the beginning of many years of meeting new friends and learning so much about fishing and relationships. To this day, I pass the same kindness and respect on to others, but some don't. And that's what today's show is all about. The good, the bad, and the ugly of fishing ethics.
Yamaha Canada proudly presents the Angler and Hunter Radio Show, the voice of anglers and hunters. On today's show,
professional angler and full-time guide Paul Castellano joins us to talk about fishing ethics. Mike Miller from Angler and Hunter TV drops by to chat about how important respect for others and the resource is essential in maintaining our image as stewards of the great outdoors. Plus, an Angler and Hunter Radio weekly exclusive. What is going on with Ontario's moose management? Proposed changes may affect your 2015 moose hunt, 2016 season, and beyond. All this and more on today's Angler and Hunter Radio.
Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pizer here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit KingfisherMultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, Mike Miller here. You know, to most people, winter means warming by a fire on a bearskin rug and listening to the sweet song of the winter winds over a hot cup of cocoa. At least, that's how I assume those softies picture it. As for the rest of us, we want to be right out there in the action, fishing on the frozen lake. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need from shelters to fishing line to make sure that your time on the ice is spent fishing like a pro. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
It's time to put your year in gear. Canada's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs are all under one roof, and they're all on sale right now at your Polaris dealer. You can get rebates as high as $1,000, financing as low as 3.98%, and more. Sportsman 570 and ETX come with a free 5-year extended warranty. And you can save over $1,100 on a roof, windshield, and winch package for Ranger XP 900. Now's the time to search Canada's best-selling lineup of side-by-sides and ATVs and find the machine to match your passion. It's the Polaris XP sales event with rebates as high as $1,000 and financing as low as 3.99%. See your Polaris dealer now. Offers valid in Canada through 4/30/15 on select new full-size 2008 through 2015 models. See dealer for details, subject to grant approval. 5-year Polaris Protection Limited warranty coverage starts at date of purchase, subject to $50 deductible. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to take a training course. Polaris machines are not intended for on-road use.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by Alumacraft and Kingfisher Boats, celebrating a tradition of excellence.
Welcome to the voice of Anglers and Hunters, Angler and Hunter Radio. I'm Randy Jennings. So what is ethics? Well, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines it as an area of study that deals with ideas about what is good and bad behavior. A branch of philosophy dealing with what is morally right or wrong. A belief that something is very important. How does this apply to fishing? Well, professional angler and full-time guide Paul Castellano joins me today to talk about just that. Paul Castellano from Cast Adventures and the Alumacraft Pro Staff. Paul, welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio. How are you doing?
I'm great, Randy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the February this year is so cold. Are you still guiding in that freezing cold weather?
Believe it or not, Andy, when Mother Nature lets us, we do still venture out. A lot of it just depends on the direction of the wind and the wind intensity. But to give you an example, the last day we were out, it was minus 27 with the wind chill.
Wow.
And this is not ice fishing. This is running the Alumacraft, the 185 competitor tiller on the Lower Niagara River. But having said that, you can get out of the wind. You know, when you get a west wind or you get an east wind, there's places you can hide.
Right,
the sun's out. It's nowhere near as bad as you think. But, yep, to answer your question, I sure am every chance I can.
Jeez. And I guess because the weather is, this past winter has been so cold and so tough, I guess you haven't had to contend a lot with crowding out on the river, so to speak.
You know, there's one thing to be said about that. When people's insurance, when their layup policy kind of comes into effect sometime in December with most people's insurance policy, it's one of my favorite times of year, and this is going to sound a little bit selfish, but the river basically empties out. There's only a few anglers out on any given day, especially Saturdays and Sundays, versus when the weather is decent in the fall and in the spring. So, no, there's definitely not too many boats out this time of year.
But it obviously does get busy as the weather gets nice. And mm-hmm. and myself and your father grew up in times where we used to fish, at least myself, I fished for steelhead down in southern Ontario, and we'd fish pools that were just so packed. I mean, there'd be a circle of guys around the pool, and there was a lot of consideration in terms of people taking out their lines when somebody hooked a fish, and everybody kind of had this, it's kind of that unsaid law, I guess. Do you have the same thing in guiding in terms of when you're fishing in these areas with other guides and other fishing people? Do you find that they're pretty courteous or?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. But for the most part, you know, there's kind of unwritten ethics and rules, so to speak. Most people, you know, you give each other enough room. Obviously, the way the river works, you're constantly moving like a conveyor belt.
Okay.
So you set up at the top of the drift. You try to give yourself enough space between the next boat if it is busy. You know, you get to the end of the drift. You know, you start your motor. You make sure you swing out and around. So yeah. So for the most part, the regular anglers and the other guides, everyone's pretty good. You know, they give themselves plenty of room, and they give themselves lots of space, and they respect each other out there. And usually, Randy, if someone isn't doing that, I don't think it's because they're doing something on purpose on the Lower Niagara. I think it's just because they're maybe new.
Yeah.
And usually you have, you know, it's a great opportunity. You just introduce yourself and you know, say hello and start the conversation. And just kind of, if it's appropriate, you kind of just suggest what other anglers do. You can't really get upset for someone, and you can't really tell them what to do, but you can just kind of suggest this is what we do. And usually the angle is it's better for everybody if you're not driving on top of the fish, if you're giving each other enough space, because you don't want to hook a big fish, have it run into someone else's line or hit their boat, et cetera. So as long as you approach them with respect,
yeah,
you know, it usually goes a long way.
Now, how do you find social media affecting the crowds and the number of people fishing in some of these areas?
Well, You know, that's a good one, because I think, you know, and Randy, you know this, back in the day there was television,
yeah,
print and sportsman shows, and maybe I'm missing something, but that was pretty much how you learned things, and that was how you were educated about, you know, locations and product and techniques. And nowadays with social media, it the learning curve is so steep, and it's so good for the new and the future anglers. I guess the negative would be it's a lot easier to learn those little nooks and crannies and those hot spots and those techniques that, you know, you had to put a lot more time on the water in the past.
Right.
Whereas now, you know, if you're able to study pictures and put two and two together, you can learn a lot just by, you know, surfing through different types of social media forums.
We will return with more Angler and Hunter Radio after these important words from our sponsors.
Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you, with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pieser here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit kingfishermultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, this is Mike Miller, and when I'm fishing, nothing beats the confidence and enjoyment that comes with using the best equipment. There's a reason why generations of professional anglers, guides, and camp operators make Lund their boat of choice. They stand up to the elements and the repeated use that hardcore anglers put them through, season after season. Isn't it time for you to experience the Lund difference? Visit LundBoats.com to find your closest Lund dealer today. Lund Boats, built by fishermen, for fishermen.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and, only through this limited time offer, a Lucky Strike flat-bottom fishing net, a Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, a Fox 40 classic whistle, a full-size package of fish crisp, a pair of Strike King sunglasses, and Team OFAH Camouflage Lumbar Pack. This membership package is a $245 value for $71.95. Care enough to join today.
Hey, Mike Miller here. And you know, there's lots of activities that take place on the ice. Hockey, curling, ringette, and even figure skating. But none of those compare to the greatest ice sport of all, ice fishing. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need, from Rapala ice shelters to Suffolk fishing line. Now, it's easy to make sure your next ice fishing trip has you doing more than hanging around the cold practicing your triple axles. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. I'm Randy Jennings, and you're listening to my chat with professional angler and full-time guide, Paul Castellano, about fishing ethics.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I find that you know the information highway now is so much more dynamic. Like you say, back then, you could drive all the way to Port Hope, and the river could be over the banks and all muddy and no good to fish, where maybe Wilmot Creek would have been good. Now, you can just go on your handheld device, and you can find out right away where the fishing's good. I think as anglers, what we need to embrace is the fact that this is here to stay, and
absolutely.
And how do we adapt to this? And I think the way I relate to it is, no matter who I go fishing with, it doesn't matter who I go fishing with, I always learn something from the other person. And I used to guide not near like you do, but I would take out people, Paul, from Germany, from Africa, from all over the world. And I would never walk away from a day without learning something from my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you found the same thing, but I've had clients just do things that have just really opened my eyes and taught me a lot about fishing technique and that sort of thing. Not that they're experts, just through accident sometimes.
Randy, you know, I 100% agree with you. You can never stop learning. And there's one thing that I try to pass on advice that was passed on to me many years ago, that if you can learn one new thing every time you go fishing, or one new technique from every different person you fish with, or tip or trick or whatever the case may be, that's really a great way to progress and continuously evolve and get better.
Yeah.
So this, going back to the social media part of it, you know, there's pros and cons, like you had mentioned, the availability of looking at these hydro flow charts for rivers to see, oh, this river's on the rise, this river's on the drop, we need to go to this one. Getting updated wind reports for when you're out on the water, radar reports of lightning and movement. So there's some amazing things with technology. And I guess the negatives are, some people are, and as you know, a lot of anglers are very protective of their spots, of their fish, et cetera. So they may see it as a negative because of the increase in pressure. And there's no doubt about it. There is a tremendous amount of pressure on spots now. There's always been pressure, but some spots more so than it was in the past. But I don't think it's going to change. It's not going to go away. It's here to stay, like you had mentioned. So
yeah.
You have to try to look at the benefits of it. Some locations, you're not going to get those pools and those runs every day to yourself anymore. You just got to accept the fact that it is community water. It's not private property unless you have private property you're fishing. And it's, you know, they have every right to be there, as do we. So, you know, I think if good ethics are applied with the increase in pressure, it does work. The unfortunate part is not everybody sees it that way, and all it takes is one bad experience or one bad individual, and it can really sour, you know, somebody's spot or somebody's day.
Yeah, and that one bad individual, which is the one individual that we've been talking to, not only with you but with Mike Miller on today's show, is the one that we all need to take the high road with and lead by example, because as a group, we're all a bunch of great guys and girls. And if we don't lower ourselves to that, those people will rise to the occasion, in most instances, at least what I found anyway.
You know, I think at the end of the day, everybody's there because, you know, they love the sport. You know, they want to catch that big fish. They want to have a good time. They want to escape from the everyday, you know, stress. But I think we lose that sometimes, or certain people might.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I've tried to keep in the back of my mind is, you know, as a guide, I'm out there more than most people. I'm very blessed and very fortunate for that. But, you know, there's a lot of days, Randy, I get certain places completely to myself. I'm the only person. I'm able to do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about a boat spooking a spot, or I don't have to worry about sharing a school or whatever the case may be. But then, you know, there's other times where there's potentially 30 boats on the same drift or the same spot. And, you know, it's something that you can't let it bother you. You can't let it ruin your day. You have to try to, as a guide, you have to try to still make it a very positive experience. Do the best you can to obviously keep people safe is number one. And number two, teach them something that they can benefit from not only that moment, but the rest of their lives through fishing, and try to catch some big fish and lots of fish.
Exactly. And you know what? To save a whole lot of time and energy, if they just called you at 1-888-512-8127, or I'll give you a little shameless plug here, or info@castadventures.ca. Paul can take you out and he'll show you it all. And I've heard that you just catch everything down there in the Niagara.
We for a short section of river, the lower Niagara, you've got about 8 miles, 7-8 miles of water to fish. There's literally every type of species available in that small section of river at one time of the year or another. So it's a pretty diverse fishery. It's really world famous for its steelhead, lake trout, brown trout fishery, but it also is a phenomenal smallmouth bass fishery. It's got some, you know, unique opportunities for walleye. It's got some unique opportunities for panfish. So it's one of the most scenic places that I can think of.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
That's cool. Well, thank you for joining us today. I guess we're going to be talking to you again about fishing technology, probably coming down the pipes here pretty soon. And like I said, for all our listeners, you can always look Paul up at info@castadventures.ca and ask him some questions, and he'll give you some answers. Thanks, Paul.
Randy, thanks so much. One last thing, guys. If you are into social media, you can check me out. I'm on Instagram, at Castellano Paul.
Okay.
Twitter, at Cast Adventures. Or Facebook, I've got a Cast Adventures group.
Great. Thanks a lot, Paul. We'll be in touch soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Don't go away. Mike Miller from Angler & Hunter Television is up next after these words.
Angler & Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by Alumacraft and Kingfisher Boats, celebrating a tradition of excellence. Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pieser here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit kingfishermultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, Mike Miller here. You know, to most people, winter means warming by a fire on a bearskin rug and listening to the sweet song of the winter winds over a hot cup of cocoa. At least, that's how I assume those softies picture it. As for the rest of us, we want to be right out there in the action, fishing on the frozen lake. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need from shelters to fishing line to make sure that your time on the ice is spent fishing like a pro. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll-free at 1-800-567-9009.
It's time to put your year in gear. Canada's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs are all under one roof, and they're all on sale right now at your Polaris dealer. You can get rebates as high as $1,000, financing as low as 3.98%, and more. Sportsman 570 and ETX come with a free 5-year extended warranty. And you could save over $1,100 on a roof, windshield, and winch package for Ranger XP 900. Now's the time to search Canada's best-selling lineup of side-by-sides and ATVs and find the machine to match your passion. It's the Polaris XP sales event with rebates as high as $1,000 and financing as low as 3.98%. See your Polaris dealer now. Offers valid in Canada through 4/30/15 at select new full-size 2008 through 2015 models. See dealer for details, subject to grant approval. 5-year Polaris Protection Limited warranty coverage starts at date of purchase, subject to $50 deductible. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to take a training course. Polaris machines are not intended for on-road use.
There are many words out there to describe fishing ethics, but the biggest and most important one to yours truly is respect. Respect for nature, respect for fellow anglers, and respect for others enjoying our lakes and streams stands tall on the list. Joining me today to talk about these important values is Mike Miller from Angler & Hunter Television.
Fishing ethics. So that's a pretty broad topic, but what comes to mind with me is what's been going on over the last, say, 30 years in Ontario. We've had quite an evolution of technology, and it's changed the landscape. Any comments on that, Mike?
Wow. Well, you're going back 30 years. It kind of makes me feel old, but you're right. ethics, fishing ethics can be looked at from several different angles. But what you're suggesting is, back 20 years ago anyway, there was no GPS and everybody had a map and you pick your spot on the map and go out and go fishing, right?
Yeah.
And if anybody heard that the fish were biting there or there was a good spot, they had to sort of triangulate and figure out this, you know, where X marks the spot on the lake and go and try it. But, you know, come full circle to today's day and age, you know, I can simply just tell somebody, hey, here, give me your phone or give me your tablet or whatever, and here's a waypoint. Go there and go fishing. So I think what's happened is, you know, we might go out to X marks a spot and start fishing, but it's pretty easy for 20 other boats or 30 other boats or if you're ice fishing, 100 other people to know that spot, right? So in the old days, it was kind of like, hey, back off. This is my secret fishing spot. But there are no secrets anymore, right?
So no, yeah, you're absolutely right. I was watching I think it was a Bassmaster tournament. And the guy who was in the lead, it was actually the Classic. And the guy who was in the lead was going to this little spot every morning. And on the final morning of the Classic, he goes down there. And there's a boat there.
Right.
And there's a guy, in the, you know, kind of like me, an old-timer in the boat. And he's not too happy about this. I mean, he goes out there and probably catches his bass every day. And he says to, it was Brent, I forget
Weir,
the guy's
name.
Yeah. He says, hey, you got bass pros, you're in my spot here. But I think the whole point that we're getting to with this is, you know, the waterways are there to share with everybody, not just fishing. We've got water skiers, and there's more and more of us out there. So I think that the whole experience of being alone and having that solitude of fishing is something that we need to go maybe a little further away or a little more remote to enjoy. But it doesn't mean that you can't still enjoy fishing. Now, you remember back in the, well, you don't remember maybe the 70s, but in the 70s and 80s, we'd fish down at, say, at Wilmot Creek, and there'd be 200 guys on that pool at Highway 2.
Wow.
You know, just a big circle of us down there. And we all fished fine together. We all, you'll pull our lines out when somebody hooked a fish, and everybody got along fine. And back in those days, if it rained heavy, I'd know that Wilmot would be the first creek, the next day would be Bowmanville, and the next day would be Oshawa Creek. You know, when, don't have to do that anymore. Turn on your mobile device, and people will tell you exactly where the fish and they're biting on. Is it good? Is it bad? We're going to probably talk about that a little bit in the technology part of things. But what makes you happy? For me, I think I still like the remoteness of fishing, but I can still enjoy a tournament. What about you?
You know, I would love nothing more than to be able to go to a remote lake and go fishing and never see a person as the whole day through. But getting back to the ethics portion of it, I mean, you know, I cut my teeth in this industry, bass fishing and fishing tournaments. And to be honest, when I had a lot of success in fishing tournaments, it was because I was fishing under people's docks. I'm not going to beat around the bush.
Yeah.
And ethics, I think more than any other style of fishing comes into play when you're dock fishing. You know, I've had people come down and shoot, drive golf balls at me, you know, spray me with water guns, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, and it's a two-sided street, right? Those people don't have any ethics.
Well, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And if I'm going down a shoreline and I see some kids swimming or a dog chasing a ball or somebody on their dock doing something, I'll give them a wide berth and go around that
and not
dock.
Fish the dock.
Or I'll say, hey, do you mind if I cast under your dock? But, and that's ethics, right?
That's being an ethical angler.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of that might be lost. And now if another guy comes in and starts doing the same thing I'm doing, well, he's well within his right to do that, you know?
Absolutely.
But would you pull it within 50 feet of a guy and start fishing in front of him? Ethics come into play. There's no rules.
You know,
it's treat people how you'd like to be treated and go have fun out there and catch fish, right? And don't get mad if the guy beside you catches more fish than you. That just means you need to sharpen your skills.
Yeah, and you know what? I couldn't agree more. I know, obviously, you know, I live on Sturgeon Lake, and people come by and fish my dock. I thought maybe, my wife said when we moved there, are you going to have a problem because people are going to come and fish the dock? I actually like it because, you know me, I like to talk. I gab all the time. So I like to go down and talk to the guys while they're fishing. But I noticed that the bass fishing guys, when I go to walk down to the dock, they get out of there fast because I think they think I'm going to be confrontational, which I'm not. In fact, if anything, I want to find out how their fishing is.
We will return with more Angler and Hunter Radio after these important words from our sponsors.
Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pizer here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit KingfisherMultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, this is Mike Miller, and when I'm fishing, nothing beats the confidence and enjoyment that comes with using the best equipment. There's a reason why generations of professional anglers, guides, and camp operators make Lund their boat of choice. They stand up to the elements and the repeated use that hardcore anglers put them through, season after season. Isn't it time for you to experience the Lund difference? Visit LundBoats.com to find your closest Lund dealer today. Lund Boats, built by fishermen for fishermen.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and, only through this limited time offer, a Lucky Strike flat bottom fishing net, a Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, a Fox 40 classic whistle, a full-size package of fish crisp, a pair of Strike King sunglasses, and Team OFAH Camouflage Lumbar Pack. This membership package is a $245 value for $71.95. Care enough to join today.
Hey, Mike Miller here. And you know, there's lots of activities that take place on the ice. Hockey, curling, ringette, and even figure skating. But none of those compare to the greatest ice sport of all, ice fishing. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need, from Rapala ice shelters to Suffolk fishing line. Now, it's easy to make sure your next ice fishing trip has you doing more than hanging around the cold practicing your triple axles. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. I'm Randy Jennings, and you're listening to my chat with Angler and Hunter TV host Mike Miller about fishing ethics.
Now, on the other hand, I've had people, and this is actually true. This actually happens. I've had people anchor their boat 20 feet from my dock and stare in my living room window from 6 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. I've actually had that. And it unnerves me,
yeah.
So it does kind of work both ways. And I think that the whole idea of ethics is a question you ask yourself. Maybe I've outlived my stay here. Maybe that person down there deserves, that guy fishing with his little grandfather fishing with his son off of that dock. Maybe I need to give them a little bit of space, right, and let them enjoy themselves. So, yeah, without a doubt. But I think that there's a lot more fishermen out there. And I think that technology has helped to kind of make situations a little more difficult out there.
Yeah, and I mean it's the whole I was here yesterday. Where were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you can't take ownership of fishing spots.
No,
whether you're fishing from shore or a boat or on the ice, and more so with fishing, you know, it can get very competitive. People want to have success. So if you and I are out there, we drill a hole and we start whaling on perch, pull them through the hole, and 300 yards away, somebody sees us doing that. Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to pick up their stuff and move closer to us.
Yes.
You can't say, hey, get lost. You know, this is our secret.
No.
You just have to, you have to hope that they too will show ethics and say, we're not going to fish right on top of you. Maybe we'll fish 20 or 30 or 40 feet away. Or even better yet, come and ask you what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because maybe where they were fishing is a good spot and they just weren't doing it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, 20 years ago, I might not have said I had the same answers. but I mean, it's like anything. You learn and become wise with age, and you know, you learn to share your knowledge, and also hope the people you teach those things or the people that watch you do these things will impart the same sort of, you know, code of ethics.
Yeah, absolutely. And those ethics have existed for a long time, Mike. I fished with a gentleman by the name of E.B. Smiley back in the 1980s.
Yep, I remember E.B.
And I remember fishing a tournament on Rice Lake, Keen Line Club, I think it was called, something like that, two-day tournament. First thing in the morning, we had this giant bass. And where was it? Under a dock. Where else do bass live? Under docks, right?
I'm pretty sure that's the only place they live. You're right.
So we're going to this dock to fish. And we get to the dock, and there's a lady sunbathing on the dock. And Smiley was like, we're not fishing it. We got to get out of here. And I was like, you, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, oh, we'll just fish around. She won't mind. You know, we'll just catch the fish and leave. He's like, no. She has every right to this lake as we do, and you know we need to respect that. So when we went to this other spot, and there was some people with their boat anchored fishing there, and we couldn't fish there. So I guess the short story on this is this was quite a while ago, and Smiley was a as you know a seasoned tournament pro like yourself, but even during the times of a tournament, he still had that respect and ethics, and showed that respect for fellow lake users.
Yeah, and I think more than anybody else, tournament anglers, I think some of them feel entitled to be allowed to, I don't know whether it is intervene or
because they're within the guise of an event, they feel like
yeah,
this is
I got
an exception.
Some, there's something on the line here, so look out. You know, I know this is your dock and you're sunbathing on it, but watch out for a minute. You know, and yeah. Also takes usually is a good morning, a hello, or some sort of a polite gesture.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe they'll tell you to get lost,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't ask, you'll never get to flip underneath that dock or cast there or put your duck blind in the weeds or whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, and if you go in and you're ignorant about it, chances are pretty good you're going to be received with ignorance.
So. And it tends to paint everybody with a, yeah. Whether you be a tournament fisherman or a non-tournament fisherman, it tends to paint everybody with the same brush.
Yeah.
I know one thing that Smiley would say is, mind if I try my luck? And, you know, sometimes people would say, get away from my property, and we would.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, this, like I said, I mean, there's laws and stuff that protects anglers from being harassed by landowners and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you don't want that. I mean, it just causes mayhem. It ruins everybody's day. So
exactly. And I can tell you that 99.9% of the guys that fish around my shoreline and my dock and Lindsay, great guys.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't catch all the fish.
No.
Because the next boat that comes the next day will catch one. You know, it's not, you know, it's not like the resource is being hurt or anything. So all good talk. And for our listeners, 99.9% of them, they're all good people. And we all do have that. We all do give it that thought, you know, how am I going to handle this situation? What am I going to do in this situation? And I think 9 times out of 10, everybody's right on with that.
Yeah, and one little piece of, I mean, I think, you know, we've kind of maybe stirred something up here talking. About,
that's the idea. We're a provocative radio show, Mike.
Talking about fishing people's docks, and I mean, there's thousands of people listening to the radio that are at their cottage or planning on going to their cottage, and they're going to say, oh, man, I'm so sick of these guys, you know, fishing under my dock or coming under my shoreline. But like I said, everybody's well within their rights to do things. But one thing that does happen, I mean, when you're fishing, you could you cast your lure and you hook a stump or you hook a tree or you catch a rock. Or if you're fishing on a dock, a lot of people will hook, you know, the post of a dock or around a rope. And I go out of my way, even if the person is yelling and raving and ranting, to go there and unhook your bait or whatever.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
You don't want anybody getting hooks stuck in them.
Right. And that's the biggest complaint I find is, you know, oh, you guys are always leaving your hooks on my stuff here. And it's like, well.
And think about it. If you had, and it doesn't matter what kind of boat you have. If you had a boat parked at a dock, maybe imagine it was your dock.
Right.
And you had this nice new cover that you bought, custom canvas cover, and somebody cast a hula popper and ripped your cover. You wouldn't be too happy either, would you?
No. And I'm the first guy to go up and say, hey, look what happened here, you know. I mean,
absolutely.
You might feel the rage of the landowner or dock owner or boat owner, but at the end of the day, if you do something like that, you're responsible for it. So,
yeah,
go face up to it, own up to it. And if you can't efficiently cast around docks and boats. Maybe you should go fish somewhere else or practice or whatever. But
that's true.
It all comes into, like you said, the subject of your day here is ethics. And, you know, if you're gonna do that sort of thing, then you should expect to, one, be ethical and treat the landowner or boat owner or property owner or whoever it might be you encounter the same way you'd want to be treated, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
And what about fishing, too, in general? Keeping your limit, keeping not necessarily outside of the guidelines of the law, but, you know, in the spirit of fair chase and how this whole thing works and everything, I guess you could, you know, there's ethics come to play there as well. And keeping only what you need.
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah, that's wow. That's a topic that you know, if you're going to get into that, it's. I mean, for the amount of time I spend on the water fishing, I see a lot of unethical, I guess, anglers and hunters for that matter, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to catch a fish, eat it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And keep it, eat it. If you're not going to catch a fish and eat it, let it go.
Yeah,
pretty much sums it up. But yeah, a lot of people will. You know, I hear a lot of people with the old adage, you know, I don't get to go fishing every day.
Yeah.
So the one or two days that I do go fishing, I'm not going to abide by the limits because, you know, if I'm going to go fishing once a year, I should be able to catch all the fish I want.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, we all got to play by the same rules here. So
we do. And I think it is also, and you talk about some people don't go out very often. And I think that it's an evolution that a lot of us go through, but I just as an testament, last year, that bass I caught, I let that fish go.
Right.
A lot of people would have kept that bass. You know what? It's totally legal to catch a 10-pound bass and keep it in Ontario.
I would have kept it.
I know you would have. But it's an ethical question you ask yourself. Maybe you want to keep some of the smaller bass. My neighbor does that. He keeps the smaller bass and has a fish fry.
Yeah.
And he lets the bigger ones go. I'm not, and don't get me wrong, listeners, we're not telling people what to do. We're just saying keep conservation in mind and keep your fellow people and fellow outdoors people in mind, too, when you're out there. And,
always, yeah.
Yeah, and that's about it. I have nothing much else to add to that. Stay away from my dock.
That's awesome.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mike. That was a good one.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anytime.
What is going on with Ontario's Moose Management Program? We'll find out after these words from our sponsors.
Heading out on a hunt or going on a fishing trip? Canada features some of the most challenging conditions found anywhere. That's why you need tough Yamaha products to handle the great outdoors. Whether it's an ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator you need, Yamaha has the right model for you with reliable, fuel-efficient operation and incredible performance. Conquer the outdoors with Yamaha, no matter what you're up against. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for great deals.
Hi folks, Gord Pizer here. I spend a lot of time in the water, as many as 200 days a season, and my new revolutionary Kingfisher boat gets me to fish quickly and safely, despite the weather. It's all because of the unique Preflex hull design, and the state-of-the-art interior meets all my fishing needs. Hey, to learn more about the amazing Kingfisher boats, visit kingfishermultispecies.com. Now, get into your Kingfisher and meet me where the big fish roam.
Hey, Mike Miller here. You know, to most people, winter means warming by a fire on a bearskin rug and listening to the sweet song of the winter winds over a hot cup of cocoa. At least, that's how I assume those softies picture it. As for the rest of us, we want to be right out there in the action, fishing on the frozen lake. Canadian Tire Pro Shops has everything you need from shelters to fishing line to make sure that your time on the ice is spent fishing like a pro. Canadian Tire, Canada's fishing store.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
It's time to put your year in gear. Canada's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs are all under one roof, and they're all on sale right now at your Polaris dealer. You can get rebates as high as $1,000, financing as low as 3.99%, and more. Sportsman 570 and ETX come with a free 5-year extended warranty. And you could save over $1,100 on a roof, windshield, and winch package for Ranger XP 900. Now's the time to search Canada's best-selling lineup of side-by-sides and ATVs and find the machine to match your passion. It's the Polaris XP sales event with rebates as high as $1,000 and financing as low as 3.99%. See your Polaris dealer now. Offers valid in Canada through 4/30/15 at select new full-size 2008 through 2015 models. See dealer for details, subject to grant approval. 5-year Polaris Protection Limited warranty coverage starts at date of purchase, subject to $50 deductible. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to take a training course. Polaris machines are not intended for on-road use.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Canadian Tire. Check out our new fishing and hunting pro shops at select Canadian Tire stores.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio's exclusive feature on the future of moose management in Ontario.
Joining us today is research scientist with the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, Len Hunt. Len, welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Randy. How are you today?
Good, good, good. So, this questionnaire, what was the reason for distributing it?
Well, the reason, Randy, was to help support the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, I'm trying to remember that last year, our moose project. And this moose project is really geared towards the setting of long-term population objectives for moose in different areas of our province, and as well reviewing questions about when and how moose can be hunted. And the work that we were doing with respect to the questionnaire really looked at part of pre-engagement activities for this project, and we wanted to hear from a random sample of Ontario's resident licensed moose hunters, which is a mouthful to say, about their preference, support, and or opposition towards harvest strategy options, about their potential reactions to hunters to such options, and to profile who are moose hunters, how they contribute, or how do they conduct their hunts, I should say, and what are their likes and dislikes about moose and moose hunting. And I think just for my own sanity, I'm going to use a shorthand moose hunters to talk about the phrase Ontario's resident licensed moose hunters from now on.
Right, yeah, good. That's a good idea. So were the, how was their willingness to participate? I imagine if I had to guess, it would be good.
You know, Randy, it's always nice to work with hunters and anglers. I find that both the groups are very passionate about the activities that they pursue. The individuals are knowledgeable about the resource management issues, and they're always willing to help us. And this case with respect to the questionnaire was no exception. Out of the 2,700 moose hunters that we contacted, we heard from roughly three-quarters of the individuals. And it's really important for us to hear from a lot of the individuals we contact, because you always worry about the people you don't hear from. So if you conduct a survey and only have a response rate of 10%, you really wonder how representative those 10% are of that entire population. But by having three-quarters of the individuals respond, we're a lot more confident that we're hearing representative perspectives around the issues that we asked.
Yeah, that's good that they did respond. And with that being said, what did you notice in terms of the hunters themselves, like age, gender, experience, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I'll try to provide you with a little bit of a description of the average hunter. That being said, there's obviously a lot of diversity among hunting community. The average moose hunter in Ontario, not surprisingly, is a male between 50 to 69 years of age, about 20 years of hunting experience. That being said, there still is a large number of individuals hunting who are females, about 10,000 folks in total. The hunters in the southern part of the province tended to be locals, and we defined locals as people who were hunting in the areas where they resided.
Okay.
And while the individuals in the northwest region tended to be non-locals, and there was about 50-50 split between locals and non-local hunters in Northeast region. About half of the hunters who responded to our survey had applied to the moose draw as part of a group, and the hunting party size and number of days varied a lot among the different groups. For example, hunters in southern region hunted in larger size parties with over 8 hunters on average, and for the fewest days, no doubt, because there's a constraint in terms of the season length.
Right.
Whereas hunters in the northwest region tended to hunt in the smaller size parties, so about 5 to 6 hunters, and they hunted for about 10 days on average.
Okay, okay. And is in terms of what they're targeting, just some of their preferences, are we looking at a lot of calf? Are they going for the tags for the cows and the bulls? What kind of rifles do they use versus bows, et cetera? Was there anything unique that you found out about in the survey about that?
Well, it was pretty consistent among all the different regions where individuals were hunting. We found that about 2 out of every 5 hunters were prefer to harvest a bull when given the choice of any type of moose to harvest. Another 1/3 of hunters would prefer any type of adult moose, and about 1/5 of hunters really had no preference. Only a very small percentage of the hunters actually expressed a preference to hunt for calves or for cow moose. And rifle was the weapon of choice for over 90% of the hunters.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, and that I know from the people that I talk to that go moose hunting, they're primarily rifle hunters. However, I do know some traditional hunters too that are still using the old stick and string, which is an interesting way to hunt for an animal that's over 0.5 ton.
Exactly.
At least in my humble opinion, anyway. So when we talk about like the actual timing, and I know the season's limited in the south here, but there is a wide range of seasons in Ontario because we do have longer seasons in the north. Did you find that there was anything in terms of preference when it came to those hunting times amongst hunters?
Yeah, most of the hunters expressed a preference for hunting during the first 2 weeks of the gun portion of the moose hunt in their area, with the obvious exception in southern region where there's a 6-day hunt. There were some differences, though, and in particular in northwestern Ontario. So as most of your listeners probably know, the gun portion of the hunting season runs until December 15th in most of the wildlife management units in northwestern Ontario. And we do have, between 15 and 20% of the hunters who stated that they would prefer the late snow conditions and conduct their hunt at that point.
Okay.
And it was definitely even higher for those individuals who identified themselves as being locals in northwest regions. So it would be up to a quarter of the hunters would have preferred that time.
Okay. And did you get a sense of what kind of revenue or how much money that they would typically spend, or at least on average, for a moose hunt?
Yeah, again, speaking about averages, and obviously there's a lot of variability around these averages, but if we just limit the conversation to averages, I can tell you the results from 2 different questions that we asked hunters. First, we asked the hunters how much they spent during their moose hunting trips in 2012 on items like, their travel, food, license fees. And across the province, hunters on average spent a little less than $1,000 during 2012. And it was pretty interesting that there was a lot of variation depending on where you hunted. But when you broke it down in terms of an average daily trip expenditures, among all the areas of the province, it really came out to about $125 a day.
Okay.
And then a second question, we asked hunters to report, the types of gear and equipment expenditures that they had made in 2012, such as purchase of a rifle, and as well to indicate the proportion of those expenditures that they would attribute to their moose hunting activity. And so on average, the hunters reported spending about $2,600 on gear and equipment, and they would have attributed $1,400 of those expenditures to moose hunting in 2012. So between the two, you can see that the average active moose hunter in Ontario would have spent about $2,400.
Okay.
In 2012. And if you can think that there's somewhere between 80 and 90,000 active hunters in any given year, you're probably talking about a total expenditures around $200 million.
Wow, eh?
It is a large number.
And you know what? There's nothing more fun than buying new equipment. other than the act of hunting itself, I think that's one of the most the most things that I enjoy the most anyway. So the questionnaire also asked hunters to state a preference for a hypothetical harvest management strategy. What kind of options were on the table with that?
Well, we asked hunters to consider 7 different options for managing moose in the wildlife management unit where they hunted most often in 2012. And these options included, you know, we'll just leave everything the way it is,
mm-hmm.
to we'll reduce the adult validation tags, to change season length by either ending the hunting season earlier, starting the season later, or splitting the gun portion of the hunting season into 2 separate seasons, and then finally 2 options that would address calf harvest through either a reduced calf hunting season or putting in place a calf validation tag system.
Okay.
And then we asked hunters, given these 7 options, a relatively simple task, which was please rank these options from 1 to 7 as most to least preferable.
Right. Okay. And what was there a clear preference, or was it kind of close? Or?
Well, there was definitely a clear preference, and that was to do to not change anything.
Okay.
You have to remember the timing of this survey as well, and I haven't spoken to that, but it was conducted in the spring of 2013, so it predated any of the information that was disseminated around the moose aerial inventories, which were flown through the 2013, the winter, and as well the adjustment to the adult validation tags in the number of wildlife management units. So it's sort of a response without that in the individual's mind. So that was the most preferred option. And then the next 2 most preferred options were to shorten the calf hunting season without changing the adult moose season and ending the season earlier. The least preferred option was to reduce the number of adult validation tags.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting when you take a look at the way that people respond to the different options. Some options tend to be what we would term polarizing, in that there's a relatively strong level of support for an option, but there's also a very strong opposition to a particular option. So, for example, the calf validation tag draw, it seemed to pull in a fair percentage of people who said that it was, you know, among their most preferred options, and lots of people said that it was among their least preferred option.
Yeah, that's interesting, but you know what? That makes sense to me, because I could see where that would be something that would be opinionated and divided amongst people. That for sure, you know, I could see that.
Right, and it's a matter of familiarity with these types of options. Season length change, I think people have a little bit better familiarity with the idea and the concept, so they probably can think a little bit in more concrete ways as to how it might affect their hunting behaviors.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Well, and you know, it's good that we have a lot of people still hunting for moose, because it certainly helps the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry do these surveys and get a handle on what's going on out there, so that you can make some good decisions for our future management of moose. And it's good to have people like you there, Len, to help us out with all this.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much, Randy. And I also want to put out a big thanks to all the hunters who responded to the survey request. It's critically important for us to hear those perspectives, so we are truly appreciative of all the efforts that people make to fill out these types of questionnaires, the postcard surveys and the like, and it really helps us in terms of the management of the resource.
Yeah, so listeners, remember, you get those surveys, fill them out. Don't forget, it's certainly helpful. And thank you, Len, for being on Angler Hunter Radio. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care.
Don't forget to tune in next week for part 3 of What's Going On with Ontario's Moose Management.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Canadian Tire. Check out our new fishing and hunting pro shops at select Canadian Tire stores.
As anglers, we must remember that our actions, whether they be good, bad, or ugly, reflect on all of us. Water skiers, sunbathers, and waterfront property owners, to name a few, all deserve the same respect, as do our fellow anglers. Angling provides a great opportunity to meet new friends and learn more about the pastime we love so much. None of this can take place without respect for the resource and others. Until next time, be safe. I'm Randy Jennings.
The Angler and Hunter Radio Show has been brought to you by Yamaha. What kind of Yamaha are you? Canadian Tire. Check out our new hunting and fishing pro shops at select Canadian Tire stores. And by Alumacraft and Kingfisher Boats, celebrating a tradition of excellence. Angler and Hunter Radio is a production of the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. Please send your tall tales and comments to ahradio.ca.
Hey, you can also check out past episodes of Angler and Hunter Radio on the web at wrvoradio.com.